Hello and welcome to another short update. It's the 26th today, Thursday. Didn't do a podcast yesterday. I'd like to do one regularly, but sometimes I have to miss out a day or two. I hope that is okay. I think the more positive thing that I'm beginning to pick up from what's occurring is how people's values are changing. I don't mean people who, listen to me or to anyone else on this subject, but people who wouldn't normally listen to the sort of things that you and I know to be true, who have for years hidden from the very facts that we've come to understand as the reality of our life, excuse me, and the reality of the world we live in. And I suppose that there are quite a large number of people who very happy with their own world in the sense that they feel confident from day to day. If you were to sit and ask them about their true aspirations or their true wishes, you'd find they were actually particularly unhappy. But they've learned to be happy with what they've got on a superficial level. And what this emergency is doing, I think, is making people reevaluate what's more important. Now, I know for many a computer game is important, but what's more important, the computer game or a spade to dig the earth, to plant seeds, to grow food? The value of human friendship, which we take so much for granted during the normal run of things, the electronic solace that we find, or many people find in their cell phones, their mobile phones, the television, the games console, a whole range of things. When really the answer was staring us in the face all the time. It's humanity. It's the ability to connect, to understand, to be part of a greater consciousness. And so I hope that one of the things that comes through from this is that people will never be the same again. And they will never again take things for granted. They will never again assume that life will just go on as it has done. This shock to the system, I hope, will make people realize that not their world is worthless, but that the path that they've taken through that world has been one directed by other people, corporations, governments, very wealthy individuals, advertisers, politicians, all of those things. Whereas really, perhaps individuals need to say, to hell with that. What do I want to do? What's important to me? And also maybe to realize that they're just being fed an absolute packet of lies, and every once in a while there's a grain of truth mixed in with it. So maybe that's something really positive that will come out of this, people reevaluating what's truly important to them. And can they really rely on the system to be very honest and truthful? If you look at the things that I have been saying over many years, and of course other people, we were talking about supermarkets not having food. We were talking about the potential loss of communications, the potential loss of maybe power to the house, the reduction in civil liberties. And for years, I and many others sang this song. And many of you listened to that and you made provision. Well, what effect does that have on people who never heard that song? Never bought into that, always believed that everything was going to be okay because they trusted the people who were in power. That, I think, from connecting consciousness point of view, is the real opportunity we have to engage with those people and say, this isn't just some sort of shock that came out of the blue, because look at what Simon and many others have been saying, been warning us of effects like this. Now, why is it that he and others like him were able to warn us, but your own leaders, the people you vote for, didn't warn you of this? Why do you think that is? And what I'm asking every member of Connecting Consciousness is to engage now, please, because there will be a vacuum in the consciousness of these people. Their whole world has been turned upside down. They're now seeking and looking for the truth. As an organization, Connecting Consciousness can be like any other organization. And what we can do is offer help and support to those individuals who are searching. They haven't found what they're looking for, and they're desperately looking for stability in their life, strength in their life. But we're not offering the same consistency. That's the point. We're offering the truth. And so we can't ram information down people's throats. We can't force people. But what we can do is say, look at what's played out. And do you really think that that was something that was just a total chance? Or do you think that you've been treated fairly or accurately? There may be some people who just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, what can I do about it? And those people are obviously not yet at a position to make those choices and face their own reality. I see this as an opportunity for all spiritual organizations across the planet who are also there to try to bring the truth to individuals, to seek out those people now who have been totally let down by the system and say to them, okay, you bought into one particular paradigm. You now realize that it was just a complete sham. Can we please engage with you? And let's see where we go with it. It was nice to see Robert David Steele on one of his very recent podcasts now saying that, it's not just 5G, there is a virus out there. And a number of other people are now, clearly coming down on the side that there is a virus. I received this information at a secret meeting. And yes, I do go to secret meetings. That's how I get my information. There are people who respect me as an individual, as a person, because in their organization, they want the truth, but they can't engage with me officially. Right? So lots of people out there who can't be seen to be talking publicly to Simon Parkes, but can actually say, I'll meet you at such and such a place, 15, 20 minutes or whatever it is, and that's it. But don't quote me on X, Y, or Z, but you can quote me on whatever. And the information that I got was correct, 100% correct and accurate. And I received it from actually three different sources. Three different sources. And so why I was very confident to go straight out and say it is a virus. I even explained how it occurred. The only thing I couldn't tell you was who was behind the action. And there are an awful lot of people out there who said it was, holographic, it was 5G, it was this, it was that. And I've been very clear from day one that 5G weakens the body's immune system. It weakens it. And as a result of that, you are more susceptible to anything from a bee sting, I think I said, to a bacterial attack or viral attack. And what's very interesting with all this situation is the truth begins to leak out. And I was overjoyed to see the BBC actually say that during this lockdown, nobody's calling it martial law, they call it lockdown. During this lockdown, bandwidth on your internet can be severely strained because so many people are on it. And it said, and I quote, don't use your microwave during these times because the waves from the microphone can affect your internet connection. Hallelujah. How wonderful. For an official organization like the BBC to actually come out, they don't even realize what they're saying. They've just been given this by a scientist and they've put it out. That operating a microwave near your modem can severely affect the bandwidth of your internet connection. Hold on a minute. I thought that when you close the door of the microwave, all those nasty, horrible microwaves were all contained inside the oven. But clearly not, because the microwaves are obviously escaping the oven and affecting the bandwidth. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, I remember when cell phones first came out, a long time ago now, and there was a great big thing about don't hold the cell phone to your ear because you could get cancer of the brain or cancer of the ear. And as soon as this became public, the corporations who were manufacturing these cell phones immediately jumped on anyone speaking, hello, which one is that? Come on. Basically said, okay, you prove it, you prove it. And of course, they could afford the finest lawyers on the planet, and they absolutely crushed and destroyed anybody who actually said that cell phones might be bad for your health because of the radiation microwaves. And doctors who were perhaps, you know, in two minds about this were told very clearly that they wouldn't be practicing medicine for much longer unless they kept their mouth shut. So what we have is a situation where this emergency is beginning to force cracks into the system's fairy tale, the fairy tale story right across the spectrum. So, you know, in many ways, although it's a very tragic and it's a very sad time, it also offers some great opportunities for people to wake up out of this glue that is around the earth. Okay, let's move to America. President Trump is quite clear, and there was a conference yesterday, I guess, that certain people will hope that the economic downturn in the US stops his election. And he actually came out and said that. He said, you know, there are people out there who believe that a downturn in the economy will mean that I'm not re-elected. That's probably as far as he can go publicly to say, yeah, you guys created this situation so that the economy would take a downturn and then I would not be elected. And that's what it was about. It really was. That's the information I got on day one. On day one, the information was the release of the virus. Remember, it wasn't supposed to be released in China. The release of the virus would not kill half the world's population. It would basically produce such an economic collapse that it would make it impossible for the President of the United States to be re-elected, and would allow somebody else, maybe a Clinton-like character, to be elected, who knows. So that's why it was done. Now, there is the other possibility about the you know, the inoculations, the vaccine. And I've said that if President Trump was to come out with his hand on his heart and say, I personally vouch for any vaccine, I have had my own military doctors look at this, there's nobody from the cabal on this, I take it because I trust President Trump. I trust him with that. But if he comes out and says, look, we've got the vaccine, I guess it's okay. No, I won't take it. I won't touch it. The thing is that the vaccine must exist. It really must, because no biological weapons laboratory runs on the left hand a very virulent disease without on the right hand running an antidote to it. So I can tell you that the White Hats do not have the antidote to it. Of course not, because they didn't have a hand in creating it. But the Black Hats do, or at least the Black Hats have got the understanding of it. But what the White Hats do have is the complete RNA breakdown of this virus. Therefore, the military scientists working with good guys, who are guys in white coats, to come up with some sort of counter to it. And the medical opinion is it's a 12 months to 18 months away. But if the White Hats can obtain some of this vaccine somehow, then they will only be 3 months away. Next door's dog. So the question is, would they use that as an opportunity to put a load of poisons into the vaccines to get people? And that's what I'm trying to say to you, is that if the Black Hats created this emergency, which they did, would they then have a standby with this magical vaccine, which would be crammed full of the most horrible, evil things on planet Earth? Absolutely, yes, they would. So that's why I said it depends where this vaccine comes from, where we trace it from, who has created it, and if it's got a black hat written all over it, don't take it. Run a million miles away from it. But if I could be sure, personally speaking, that that vaccine had been created in the white hat environment, totally separate, and it was a matter of life and death, then I would. I mean, looking at this actual virus, it's not killing at the rate of 10%. That's the tipping point. It ranges from anything from about 1.5 to 8%, but that's not consistent. And when it's mutated or when it changes, then it's either stronger or weaker. And I think for years to come, they will be really looking at this, trying to understand, what they're doing with it. So America was under attack. The black hats tried everything. They've tried to kill President Trump on so many occasions, I've lost count now. And so have his bodyguards, probably. Is the First Lady tried to do that more than once. Tried to discredit him politically, tried to impeach him. When all of these things failed, and they were staring at November the 3rd for an election, the only thing left they had was either a nuclear war, which they can't do now because they don't control the military like they used to, but they could detonate a dirty bomb. They could do something like that, and they decided to go for this virus because they believed wrongly that if they destroyed the economy in America, that would naturally take the president down. So please be clear from my perspective what I am saying to you, that this is not about weakening the world's population. This is purely about removing President Trump. Yes, that's all of this was about removing President Trump because they have tried just about everything else and it's failed. Well, that's what that is. In Great Britain, we're looking at a situation now where this emergency hospital has been built, is being built, something like 4,000 beds. It's like on the Chinese model, and it's quite interestingly positioned because it's right on the River Thames, so it can receive reinforcements, if you like, medical supplies by a boat. Obviously, there's a lot of fatalities. They can just be taken down the River Thames. It is going to be the place where the battle's won or lost. That's London. London will be the place where the battle is won or lost. It's the biggest city in the United Kingdom, something like 8 million people. And if the battle is won in London, it will be won in the rest of the country. If it's lost in London, then the damage to the country is going to be quite harsh. Two things from this. First of all, there are a lot of older people in Britain, but also older people in Britain are very cautious. So it might be, unlike the Italian situation, that a lot of older people in Britain are actually, hello. You've just come up to say hello again, haven't you? And come to bring me a toy. Thank you very much indeed. That's a really nice present. Thank you. That's a lovely present. Thank you. So the problem with Italy is it has the world's largest number of older people. Anywhere, I beg your pardon, in Europe, it has the largest number of European older people anywhere. And so when this virus hit, it really did decimate the 80 and 90-year-olds. People in Britain, older people tend to be quite reserved anyway. So it might be that a lot of older people have gone into sort of isolation before they were officially told to do that. And that should slow or stop the spread of the disease. Occasionally we hear of younger people who've got it with no underlying medical conditions. And just, that's it. It happens very quickly. So we really don't understand the layering of this virus. I don't believe it's just one virus. I think there are several to it. If it's a biological weapon, then it's clearly been designed with a more than one action to it. So I just want to finish on the positive note, and the positive note is that I don't want to relive the war spirit because that was just a that was a just a I say fake is not the right word, but it was just a very primitive reaction. You know, we'll like the charge of the light brigade, we'll just keep going until we're either blown to bits or we get through the other end. And that's not a very evolved way of looking at things. So I want to say that I think that this is the greatest opportunity for a very long time that humanity has for beginning to see the light through the darkness. In other words, looking around and thinking, I've got a question about this, and that leads me to another question and another question. And then through that, maybe they'll find some truth. But also saying, you know, what's important to me? Because so many people have got family and friends not in the same house, and you can't go and visit them. You're in different places. And what really is important? You know, there's no ball games anymore. There's no football or soccer. You can't go and put money on a horse and bet. You can't go to the club or the pub or the bar. So what have you got? Well, what you've got is yourself and those around you that you love, and the ability to spend time to educate yourself, not what the system wants you to educate yourself on, but on the real truth that's being hidden from all of us. So maybe this enforced lockdown of millions of people will actually cause them to say, this is a heck of a shock in my lifetime. What's really important to me? And maybe there'll be a huge increase in people doing yoga or going to a spiritual school or doing some readings or learnings. Maybe this will be a great flowering of time for humanity. Or maybe it'll just be business as usual once everyone's told, you know, all clear. Everyone just says, okay, right, the pubs are open, the television's back on. You know, we just get back to our normal lifetime. I hope not. I hope that a sizable portion of people will never be the same again, that they will have seen what's happened, reevaluated their life, and always in future have decided that to put people first and not products or money. Isn't it fantastic that nearly 500,000 British people have volunteered to deliver food and medicines to senior people, to old people or disabled people? 500,000 people, not going to be paid, just volunteered to say, I will distribute food or medicines to vulnerable people. And something like 12,500 retired ambulance drivers, nurses, doctors, medical staff have re-signed to come back on to help in the emergency. Now that's, you know, let's not call that the bulldog spirit. Let's not get confused. Let's not call it, it's the wartime spirit. You know, it's 1940 all over again. No, let's move away from that. Let's say it's the outpouring of humanity. It's the outpouring of human consciousness that says, we've got to do something. We've got to be service to others. Service to self has been the vein of this life for goodness knows how long. And it's time now to show that we can be different. Because being human is something very special. To be human is very important. And so that's what I want everyone to do. I want everyone to do what they can to help others, to pass information, to be secure and strong, and not to buy into fear and panic. Okay, it's been lovely to speak to you, and hopefully speak to you again soon. Take care.